This is How Success Happens, where the staff of Entrepreneur chats with innovators, writers, artists, chefs, and a range of other unique personalities to better understand the traits that make excellence possible.
Nobody in Silicon Valley thinks it's actually them. They think everybody else is like this.
One of my regrets actually now, we should have pulled the plug sooner.
It's amazing when the universe sees you commit, how all of a sudden all these resources start to come together.
Thanks for joining us. And now, How Success Happens. Shopping at a grocery store, it's easy to see all these brands you see on the shelves and forget that once upon a time, before they were everywhere, they were nowhere. They didn't exist. Before thousands of trucks were hauling that product to stores and homes all across the country, it was simply an idea in someone's head. Hi, I'm Dan Bova, editorial director of Entrepreneur.com, and today I'm talking with one of those big ideas people, Kara Golden, the founder and CEO of Hint Water. Hint, as you're probably aware, is a bottled water that comes with, well, a hint of natural flavors and no sweeteners. It's a global brand bringing in massive sales in stores and online. I spoke with Kara to find out how she got the idea and how she took her first steps. I learned, among other things, sometimes having the courage to ask why not can be the difference between building an empire and abandoning a dream. Get ready to get inspired, get educated, and of course, thirsty. Kara Golden, CEO of Hint Water, coming up after this quick word. When you think of the sneaker brand K-Swiss, you probably get nostalgic and think of the preppy white leather K-Swiss classics that were a staple of the 90s. But K-Swiss is making a comeback and has some new and progressive products up their sleeves. The latest sneaker release is the K-Swiss Startup, purpose-built for today's entrepreneur. K-Swiss believes that entrepreneurs are the new heroes of culture. Once all young people wanted to be an athlete in the big leagues or a celebrity in a band, but now aspirations have changed. The aspiration of today is to build your own business or brand, to be independent, creative, and successful. The new startup from K-Swiss isn't a sneaker for athletes. It's a sneaker for CEOs. With a sophisticated and sleek design in premium leather, the startup matches the versatility needed by today's hustlers, going from the office to a client meeting to the airport or to a social event. It has lightweight comfort for people on their feet all day and has some slick features like a zipper to make the on-off process quick and easy, great for getting through TSA. Today's entrepreneur needs to be comfortable but also stylish and presentable. These are the sneakers for you. And the K-Swiss Startup is only available at kswiss.com, cutting out the middleman and creating a killer price at just $69 for a shoe that would normally retail for over $90. The startup comes in three colors, each named for one of the key attributes of today's entrepreneur: risk, ambition, and vision. Go check them out today at www.kswiss.com/startup and use code ENT10 to get 10% off your purchase. If you're an aspiring entrepreneur, then take the next step. Try the new startup from K-Swiss. Okay, so here we are with Kara Golden. Kara, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
We're very good, very good. Thanks for joining us. I'm thirsty even just talking to you. I'm a big fan of your product, so let me get that right out of the gate.
Awesome.
So, you know, a lot of people, we go to supermarkets, we see products on the shelves, and we kind of get blind to the idea that, oh, this is just, you know, this is a corporation and they're making this thing. But once upon a time, Hint Water did not exist. And you are the founder and the CEO of Hint Water. Why don't you tell us quickly what Hint Water is, for those who don't know, although I'm sure everybody does know. And then how did this idea hit you?
Yeah, so Hint actually was developed a little over 14 years ago now. Crazy to actually think that it's been 14 years. But I was looking for a water that had fruit in it that didn't have sweeteners. And I was really surprised when I was looking for flavored water on the shelf to find that everything had some sort of sweetener in it, whether it was sugar or a diet sweetener at that time, like stevia ended up coming out later. But early on, it was NutraSweet and sucralose and some of the other low-calorie sweeteners that were out at the time. And again, I really didn't want these sweeteners. I had actually given up. I had a huge high diet soda love, addiction, whatever you want to call it. And what I found was...
Define addiction, because I'm curious to know, how many are we talking?
Yeah, so I mean, on a slow day or a good day, depending on how you want to look at it, I was drinking between 8 and 12 cans. I mean, sometimes it wasn't cans, sometimes it was out of a fountain, but I was continually drinking, and probably somewhere subconsciously, I was thinking that water is in there somewhere.
Right.
So there's nothing wrong with it. But I think that the other thing for me was that it was called diet. And I thought, something's called diet, it must be better for me. And one day I was in sort of a process of getting myself healthier. I had been in the tech industry. I didn't grow up in the packaged goods or soda industry. And while I was trying to get healthier, I had made a commitment to myself to start reading labels. And I did well in sort of the food front and sort of understanding what I was putting into my body, found that that was fairly easy. It was never a huge packaged product. Preservatives were not. I tried to eat as healthy as possible, but the diet soda, somehow I had given it a pass. And basically, I took my diet soda one day after, you know, I wasn't losing the weight I wanted. My skin wasn't looking that great. My energy levels were low, and saw that, much to my surprise, my diet soda had over 30 ingredients in it, some of which I had no idea what they were, that I had to sort of get onto Google and actually see what they were. And so prior to actually trying to research and figure it out, I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to set it to the side for now and just start drinking plain water. And while I aspired to drink plain water, I really found that plain water for me, and it ends up like a lot of other people, is boring. So I gave up drinking this diet soda, which really had taste in it, but had all these ingredients that I wasn't confident in, and drank water. And I was fine with that for a little while. And it sort of like did what I needed it to do. I mean, I crazily lost in the first 2.5 weeks over 20 pounds. My skin cleared up. In 6 months, I lost over 55 pounds. My energy levels were back. So then I really just became religious about, like, wow, what you put in your body actually makes a difference. And, started to really think about from a broader perspective, like how many people are trying to change things about themselves, whether it's weight or skin or energy. That was sort of my issue, but bigger issues like type 2 diabetes and some of the other things that no one's really sure why people get it. And so I felt like there's a lot of people that know that water is better, but just need some sort of taste. And that's why they're drinking these other things. And again, going back to, you know, sort of the original question, it was what I found was that it just wasn't so easy to find a product that was water with fruit that didn't have these sweeteners in it. So that's really when I just decided, gosh, I should just go make it. And I think when I initially thought I'm going to go make it, it wasn't really like, oh, I'm going to go make it and I'm going to become the next vitamin water, like a lot of other people, sort of maybe people that have started beverage companies thought. I really thought, I'm going to go develop this product in my kitchen and then I'm going to go show people at stores, like, this is what I want. And why don't you go find that product for me? And it was like, I mean, it's a very different way of thinking about it. I didn't sort of out of the gate say, oh, I want to go be an entrepreneur. I want to go run my own company. It was really like, I want this product and I'm sad that it's not on the shelf and barely surprised.
Yeah. So there's a lot to sort of dissect there from the entrepreneur's point of view. One is obviously there was a problem that was directly affecting you and you thought, hey, I'm going to fix it because no one else is fixing it for me. So that's pretty awesome. I think, well, one thing I kind of wanted to ask you about, so you said you were in the tech industry, and as you said, you had no background in any of this kind of thing. So when did it become a spot where it was, I'm making this thing for myself that I like, and maybe I can make a business of this? Like, when did that moment happen?
Well, so I did my first round of Hint Waters in my kitchen, and took it to my local Whole Foods in San Francisco. And you know, convince the guy stocking the shelves. I had no idea that there was some buying office in Austin that I needed to talk to. And, you know, it ends up that at the regional level, there's stores, you know, whether it's Whole Foods or other stores that have a little bit of wiggle room that they can bring in local products. So I convinced the guy to sort of give it a try. And, you know, I had sort of told him my story and why I believe that there was going to be a market for this. And for whatever reason, he believed me. And I think it was luck. It was a good tasting product. I mean, there were a lot of things that I hadn't figured out yet about shelf life and lots of other stuff, but it got on the shelf at the local store. And then it actually sold in 24 hours. It was one that was people also wanted a product that didn't have these sweeteners in it. And our initial product was still water. I mean, people have said, oh, there actually has been carbonated versions of no sweeteners that had some sort of flavor in it. First of all, a lot of those flavors are not actually using real fruit. Many of them are not even using plant-based products or aren't vegetarian like our product. Some of them are using bone marrow, bug wings. They're sort of our challenge with the word natural overall, because a lot of things sort of fall under that. But the other thing that I was careful not to sort of swap out for in my initial development of this product was that the carbonated, even though I had no issue with carbonated, I felt like I really wanted to drink at least 8 glasses of water a day. And for me to drink carbonated, 8 glasses of carbonated a day, I would feel really like I was going to blow up. Like it's
just
lot of bubbles. Yeah. And so I really wanted a still water that didn't have this in it. The other piece that I saw early on about the carbonated market was that while there were unsweetened versions, many of them had a lot of sodium. So I wanted to be careful not to swap out my sweet craving for a salty craving, because I think that's not terrific in high doses either. So we now today, I mean, Hint has we started and sort of only had a still version of our product for many years. And then a few years ago, we launched a carbonated version and then a caffeinated version. But our promise to the consumer around the Hint brand has always been no sweeteners. So we've never believed that even putting natural sweeteners in our product is really what this consumer is looking for. We fall somewhere in between the plain water drinkers and the flavored waters with, they call them enhanced waters, with sweetener as well as a soda. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's our market. And primarily for people coming from the sweetened category that are looking for something that doesn't have sweet in it.
Right, right. That's awesome. So let me ask you this. So you kind of developed this thing in your kitchen. Can you focus a little bit on that moment? All right, so now you bring it to Whole Foods, but what did you bring to Whole Foods? How did you bottle it? Like, how did that whole process work?
Yeah, so, you know, I was like literally taking the fruit and putting it in the bottle, then I found that we could distill out the fruit, the essences from the fruit, from the not just the pulp of the fruit in the cases where there is pulp, but also the skin. So, you know, when we describe it to people, like when they say, what are these essences? I mean, we use the skins and oils of the fruit. So people have said, we just recently launched a lemon after like 14 years. They're like, why don't you have lemon? I mean, people were asking. I mean, lemon's actually really, really tough because it's something that all the lemons that are out there are not really using real stuff. And so we finally figured out how to do it. But there's some flavors that are harder than others to actually get to. But anyway, originally, you know, we launched just with a few flavors in our kitchen, and I was literally making them there and bottling them and bringing them in. And then we had a small bottler called Co-Packer that we were using early on. But what we realized is that in order to actually get shelf life, it was more complicated because I really wanted to produce a product that didn't have sweeteners in it, but also didn't use preservatives because I just didn't trust that preservatives were great. And I had no idea how to produce a preservative-free product. And so that's sort of like a story in and of itself, where it was just, I think lots of people have asked us, like, how did you actually figure that out? I mean, we were the first beverage, I believe, to actually use real fruit and not preservatives. And, you know, ultimately, it was just kind of trial and error and trying to figure out the puzzle. And it's interesting, I was just interviewing a person for a role here at Hint and really like her a lot. She's great. And she hasn't done exactly what the role is that I'm interviewing her for. But I'm like, you know, what I've learned is that two things, if you have passion and you actually have the ability, actually three things, you're smart and you have a curiosity to actually figure stuff out. I think that that's what's needed in companies and definitely in our company to actually get it done. What I found is that experience sometimes limits one to actually think that they can or more importantly can't do something because they feel like they've seen this before and this is why. So I think that for all the would-be entrepreneurs out there or entrepreneurs that are trying to grow their team, I think like that's a really important thing that we've seen internally, that just because you worked for a big soda company and you've seen how to produce a product, there's very few of those people that have actually seen how to produce a product without preservatives in it.
Right.
So you just need people that are asking questions like, why is that? And maybe it's coming from a different industry, you know, ultimately. And again, I think you'll hear, I remember early on when we were talking to bottlers and producers and saying, hey, we want to produce a product that doesn't have sweeteners, doesn't have preservatives in it. Many of these bottlers were saying, well, that's impossible. And the best question that I asked many of these bottlers and co-packers were, it was, why? Like, I don't need to be flip about it, but I just don't understand. And I think one of the best things, frankly, was the fact that I hadn't worked in the soda industry or beverage industry, because it was acceptable for me to ask why. And they would say, oh, like, what's your background? And I'd say, oh, I'd been in tech. I have never been in this industry. And so when I asked why, nobody really had a great answer. They were like, well, that's just the way it's done. And that's just the way it's done is like, that just means that you accepted what you were told, probably, along the way. And so, you know, the best entrepreneurs, no matter what industry they work in, has asked, like, why is something the way it is?
And
they're willing to go down that river with that concept. And it might be that that is the way it has to be. But what I find more often than not when I talk to other entrepreneurs in other industries too, it's like, you know, it's your ability to focus in on a problem and that maybe nobody even realized was like a problem or an issue and actually change it and get the thing that we heard early on from many of the, when we finally figured out how to produce it without preservatives was, gosh, I never even knew that this was possible. And so anyway, I think like that's the key thing that I really appreciate.
That's amazing. That's great. Because I think so many people, when they don't understand something, they're kind of afraid that if they ask the wrong question, they're going to look stupid, or that the person's not going to respect them, or that they're going to get written off as like, oh, this person's a clown. They don't know anything about this. But I think that's so awesome that you sort of own that and kind of turned it around on people and said, well, why is it like that? And use that as a positive rather than something you were shrinking away from.
Totally. And I think that that is such an important piece that is really, really, really important for people to recognize that it's just a, it's really like, don't just sit there and say, I would say one of the biggest issues I did early on and, you know, and sort of the learnings is that I would think that, okay, I don't have this experience and therefore I've got to go hire somebody who's got experience. Experience is not necessarily working for large companies in the industry that you've been in. It's really figuring out people, again, that have this curiosity, tenacity, and smarts, but also passion for figuring out the same problem. I mean, I see it when I'm interviewing people and they're like, oh, wow, that's really interesting. Yeah, I never really thought about that.
Right.
That's interesting. Versus these people who just say, nope, that's impossible. Like if you actually like live a life where you think like, well, that's impossible because I've worked at such and such company for 10 years and that's what I was taught. Then
Absolutely. And I know that mentorship and sort of sharing your experience has been, you know, extremely important to you and working with other people. And I'm wondering along the way, if there is any mentors or people who gave you advice and keeping with what you're saying, maybe they didn't know anything about bottled beverages either, but they were able to give you some insights that kind of helped you along the way.
You know, I think for me, it's frankly, when I jumped into this industry and it's it's fun to run into those people now, because the people that I met early on in the beverage industry, and I'm not talking about the people that I actually hired to work in my company, but they really like kind of laughed. I mean, some of them were nice and they still laugh, but really didn't think that we would be able to sort of do what we've done today. I mean, that's sort of the consistent thread about Hint. And like two tech executives, I say two because my husband joined me and he had been an intellectual property attorney in tech for years. And both of us were sort of knocked as like, oh, these two arrogant Silicon Valley tech people think they can just go off and create a beverage. So that was hard. I mean, it was hard early on finding those people that, you know, I really considered a mentor, because you don't want mentors that are sitting here sort of poking fun at you, right? Necessarily.
Right.
Instead,
yeah.
What I found is that like the people that really were trying to solve problems in different industries and categories, or I should say had done that, were really the people that were the most interesting to me. So like Leslie Blodgett, I had known actually from my days at AOL. She was a client of mine and she was at Bare Essentials. And while she wasn't the founder of Bare Essentials, I mean, she had started it very early, very, very early on, and was the CEO and was had built this into an incredible business that I don't even know how many people know this about her business, but something that I really admired was that she looked at a totally different channel for her business than just the makeup counter at the large department stores, which was QVC. And so prior to Bare Essentials, there were very few, if any, beauty brands that were actually selling on QVC. So she had this idea to just go and phone up QVC one day and fill out their application and figure out a way to actually get it on. She didn't know if it was going to work, but she just thought from a distribution standpoint, and then it ended up to be a significant portion of her overall company in the end when she sold it. So again, like people like that I felt like were taking on impossible. And then I would also say people like, you know, I've always been a huge admirer of Phil Knight. While I've never met him, I mean, the building of Nike, if you haven't read Shoe Dog, is like such an incredible book on so many fronts. I mean, what I found is there's so many to the most respected entrepreneurs in my mind have had moments where they actually thought, I'm going to shut this thing down. And, you know, it's not going to work out so well, but how did you come back? Like, how did you? So I don't think mentorship necessarily means like people always talk about mentorship as like go find them and go have coffee with them on maybe a consistent basis or talk to them on the phone or whatever. Like I think you can actually be mentored by somebody who makes you think about your business differently. So I read a lot. I read about entrepreneurs and their journey. I read about organizations. And I think like that, anybody who gets you to think about stuff, it doesn't have to be live. It doesn't need to be on the phone. It can actually be reading in your own or listening on Audible about their journey. I think that the story oftentimes is even more important than actually like meeting these people.
So I'm going to put you on the spot now. I'm a budding entrepreneur. I'm looking for exactly what you just described. Name, let's say, three books that you would say, read these books and it will change your life or it will change your viewpoint.
So I think Shoe Dog, you know, is one in particular that is really great. And I recommend that to people a lot. There's another one that I just read recently called Remix that actually talks about the different generations, I should call it, of workers that may be in your office and the way that they think about stuff. So a Gen Xer versus a millennial, not necessarily even work ethic that's been talked about. Differences of work ethic have been talked about a lot, but also just the thinking on different issues, on sort of problem solving and sort of visual versus non-visual and things like that, I think is pretty interesting. And then I'm trying to think of, you know, I would say those are like the two books, you know, recently that I think are super great. Actually, the other one that I'm drawing, The Originals is the other one that I really love a lot. Adam Grant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I'm terrible with titles. I believe that's the name of his book. I love that talking about sometimes these entrepreneurs may seem like the misfits from the Breakfast Club when they're
chatting
with
you.
But actually, if you sit there and listen to what problem they're trying to solve and you look down the road a little bit, they may be the people that actually go to solve the problems that we need solved.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So speaking of down the road, it sounds like you pretty much hit it pretty quickly with your first offering, and your company has grown, as anyone who has been to the store could see. What's your kind of vision for this? Where are you hoping to take it? And also, I guess, in addition to that, like, what continues to drive you? You've obviously found a lot of success. You've accomplished your immediate goal, which was to have fruit-flavored water that, you know, had no sweeteners in it. So what's keeping you going, and where are you going next?
So I think the answer to both questions is really the consumer drives those decisions for us. That our company is, we're a beverage company. We launched into sunscreen, and we're planning on doing some other categories, but it's really around helping the consumer. So as long as the consumer believes that we're helping them and they're buying our product, then we're growing and staying in business. So while I can sit here and say, we want to be the next Coca-Cola or the next this or, you know, whatever, I think for us, it's really, I firmly believe that if you satisfy the consumer and bring them, satisfy a need that they have, which happens to be centered around health and wellness and ingredients, then you'll actually continue to grow and do what you're doing. And so I think that today we're the largest independent beverage company in the U.S. that doesn't have a relationship with Coke, Pepsi, or Dr. Pepper Snapple. We're nationwide, sold in stores, but also online at drinkhint.com or Amazon. Significant portion of our business is online, which is very unique to the beverage industry. And, you know, I think for us, we've really believed that, again, going back to the consumer really dictates like where they're going to shop and whether that's in a place like a Costco or Target or Publix or online at an Amazon or drinkhint.com. And so our belief is that we need to be in all of those places so that the consumer can find us. And in some cases, we may find that, you know, I talk to people all the time who say like, oh, I don't do my shopping online. And we're like, that's great. We're available in Target nationwide. And then we have other people who say, I don't know the last time I walked into a store. I don't own a car anymore. I have everything delivered to my house. And we're like, that's great. You should go to drinkhint.com. So being a brand that actually is driven by what the consumer wants, I think is critical in today's day and age. And if you can build, obviously you have to have a brand and ultimately product or products that people like. But today, if you're running a company that you want to scale and you're making the decision for the consumers where they're going to shop, if you're only a Costco brand or only a Safeway brand or only online, I think you're foolish because that's not really sending the consumer the right message about how important they are to you.
Right, right. Absolutely. Well, this has been incredibly enlightening, and I'm sure you've inspired a lot of people who are now running at a much faster pace on the treadmill as they're listening to this or whatever they're doing. So I want to thank you so much for taking the time to kind of share what you've learned. And I'd encourage everyone to, if you haven't tried it, try some Hint. It's good for you. And it tastes really good. All right, Kara. Well,
and it's super hydrating.
Super hydrating. Always important. Well, I will let you get back to your extremely busy life. Thanks so much again. And we'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
Thank you.
That's our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. How Success Happens comes out every week. To catch each episode, please subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Like, share, leave us a review so we can always be improving. Go to entrepreneur.com for more episodes of this show and for our other great podcasts. That's entrepreneur.com. Thanks.